is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. I've got a baker's dozen of ideas for you for things to do with your children during the holidays. And you can pick from these and do what works for you. I've got some bang-up ideas. Let me say, please do get the series that I've entitled Call to Arms. Maybe that wasn't the best title because it's not about fighting at all. But it is finding your place in this dark world and God's advice on how to conduct yourself as a teacher or a parent. It was such, I want to say shot in the arm to me, but you know what I mean. It was an encouragement to me in my last years of my collegiate teaching. You know, you need patience in this time. And if you can clearly see what's going on and have some encouragement from the Lord, then you can be more patient. And that's what's required. And so please write me, get that P.O. Box 971 Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And tell you what, for 2018 Christmas time, if you send me any donation, I will send that to you on CDs. It is so important to get that word out. It's an unpacking of the scriptures of these dangerous times. I tell you exactly what the scripture says, and it will be an eye-opener and an encouragement to you. And every year it seems more dark, more perilous, and more necessary that we speak the word, and more difficult. And so this will help you. All right. P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78613 for any donation. All right. So for the holidays, what to do? So first off, can I say, why don't you bake together? Bake together. Cookies, whatever you're making. Probably not turkey. That's probably going to be too difficult if you've got very small children in case anything splashes out of the pan. For years, I used a cookie sheet, and that was so difficult till I could finally afford a roasting pan. Hallelujah. Okay, so some of these ideas will be inexpensive ideas, but tell you what, buy yourself a pound of flour and some organic flour and make some baked goods. And if you need to stay away from the sugar, use applesauce or use jaggery sugar. Well, that has something on the glycemic index, but it's made out of dates. And so use brown sugar, brown flour. A little bit of carbs will be okay. Just make it as healthy as possible. But look, you are feeding the soul of your children and creating your family. Can you imagine Miss K without some flour billowing up around her in the kitchen and pictures of her and her daughters-in-law, because her sons, she had sons, but you understand who I'm talking about, is the Duck Dynasty or the Robertson family. And Miss K is the queen of the kitchen, and it's so inspiring. And I actually have seen a picture of her making biscuits or something with her daughters-in-law. So, but how much more wonderful is that for your daughters and your granddaughters? Be in there and spread some Christmas cheer, some Thanksgiving smiles, and bake something. Bake your favorite cookies, bake your favorite bread, bake some goodies to give away to people. Yes. All right. Second most important thing I want to talk to you about is nativity scenes. I think this is really part of what some churches call spiritual formation. I think that all children need to be able to play with nativity scenes. So your family may have a nativity scene that is grand and expensive, made out of china, that the children can't play with, and get another one. My mother had beautiful decorations for Christmas, and well, for all holidays, but particularly for Christmas. And so there was more than one nativity scene, and I spent some hours rearranging, arranging, and playing with a nativity scene, and so did my daughter, and I commend it to you. And if you have a classroom, get a nativity scene. Fisher Price makes one that is completely non-breakable and workable for the early childhood classroom. And by the way, you should have Noah's Ark and some other figurines in your classroom. It's a Christian school. But even if it's not a Christian school, if you can talk about other religions, then you should be able to talk about Christianity. Yeah? Okay. So it's all about fairness. Okay. Then let's go there instead of let's being anti. Okay. That's a rabbit trail. Okay. Nativity scenes. And so have some, but you know, you can make them too. So one of the wonderful times that I had with my daughter when she was little, remember I was really poor, we made nativity scenes out of paper towel rolls and toilet paper rolls. So we would cut them to different heights, and then we took some paper and fabric, and so we made from cardboard a little manger. You know, this a manger is where animals eat from, so it's a little. So we just took a flat piece and folded it into a V, and then cut slots in it and put little rectangles so that it would be held up, and then glued some straw or something in there. Maybe it was yarn, whatever we had to look like straw. And then it was big enough for the littlest roll that we wrapped up in swaddling cloths. Okay, so just some fabric and maybe it was brown paper from paper bags. And so that was the creche for little baby Jesus. And so Mary had some white and blue fabric, and Joseph had some brown paper clothes. And then we had some shepherds and some kings. And I don't think we got as far as making some animals. But anyway, it was great fun. And I still have that beautiful. Is beautiful to me, although the paper's a little bent. When I was a child, we made with my mother and my sister, made something a little more grand. We took cones, so these much larger cones, maybe a foot tall, with styrofoam balls for head, and mother had an old tablecloth, and we cut that up and draped them around so that we had figures, and then we spray painted them gold. And so, of course, they were all one color gold, but you could tell by the draping who was Mary and who were Joseph. And we had the three kings, and yes, technically the three kings came later, but nevertheless, it's in our nativity scenes and great decorations. So if you're in a tradition that celebrates the Day of the Kings, then you can put them up in January. So work that out however you like. But the point is, have a nativity scene. And this can be a great craft time. And then you make memories when you have those craft times. I don't know if my mother ever thought, oh, I'm building memories. I think she was just an educator, and she said, okay, this is good for the girls to do so that they could be doing something productive. That's my guess. I don't know. But there's certainly great memories of our family celebrating Christmas. And so I strongly urge you to have nativity scenes that the children can play with. And think about it as a craft time. Certainly, if you just don't have time, buy one. And you might suggest this to your school, your preschool teacher. Like, do you need some toilet paper rolls? You know, you could make nativity scenes out of them. Okay. And other decorations. And of course, if you have a tree and decorate it, then that's a great opportunity to have crafts. Now, I know that there are some people who cavil at a tree. They think this is too pagan, and fine, go with that. But you probably decorate for Christmas. And so think about ways to celebrate your faith and the holidays with crafts. Now, some of you may be in the position that I was, and really didn't have money to buy a fir tree. Now, if you have money, make that a family outing to go and pick a tree and get some hot chocolate and make it all good. But if you do not have the money to do that, do not despair. There are other ways to do it. Now, today you can get an artificial tree, and even that may be less expensive. And then you buy a branch of a fir tree or canned smell. And so this is actually what my daughter does. She has a lovely set of Christmas decorations, and it has to be both inexpensive and quick. And so she can just pack them away quickly. And whereas if you go out to the most expensive store, you can spend a lot of money, but there are such things as used trees, artificial trees. But when I was young and I was in college and seminary, truly I could not have imagined spending money on a tree, artificial or otherwise. And so we did a number of other things. Sometimes they used a trimming of trees. So I went down and begged a branch or something that was cut off because I wanted that fir or pine smell. And so I had a branch, so we had a little tree. Or we used a larger branch that had nothing to do with a conifer. And then when I had a little bit more money, I owned a house, then I bought a tree that could be planted. So there are a lot of ways to have a tree on a small or infinitesimal budget. And you can make ornaments. So the most inexpensive ornaments that I've made, and also the best for the smallest children, are to cut Christmas cards up. So you can cut them into various sizes and shapes, particularly if they're a little bit shiny or sparkly, cut them and then put the Christmas tree hooks on them. And so a small child could have a tree of their own, something that won't break, won't cut them. And of course, you wouldn't give them something that would light the tree or the cards. Anyway, so for a preschool child, for their own tree or for the bottom branches so they can reach, then the cards make great decorations. Also, Play-Doh can be made. Play-Doh, just flour and salt and water and paint, although those may not last because the bugs will get into your decorations over the years. But you could varnish them. Well, I guess we would put Varathane on them now. Okay, hand prints are really lovely and can be created. In fact, you could have a whole tree full of handprints or a whole wreath full of handprints, either made of paper or Play-Doh or whatever. You may find at the craft store other materials like plaster of Paris that are not susceptible to bugs eating. And grandmother will love a set of handprints of her grandchildren for sure. I remember one year, mother got the idea from some woman's magazine, and we had felt, she cut out shapes of felt and we pasted them together to make decorations. Maybe they were leaves and peacocks or something. I can't remember, but simple enough shapes from felt. We cut them, pasted them, and then put sequins and, you know, kind of big glittery type things on them. So that could work. In fact, doorknobs of this variety are traditional, and we had doorknob decorations for Christmas in my house. You can make those out of felt, red and white with glitter and sequins and so forth. And you could make that for your bazaar for church next year if you have a church bazaar. Certainly you can blow out eggs and paint and glitter them if you have a little older child and want a little more challenging craft. I got some sweet gum balls and we just painted them gold and put little ribbons and wired them up to be decorations. And that was very, very inexpensive. You can always buy a little extra ribbon when it goes on sale. I'm a big one for buying those kind of cards and Christmas ribbon and everything in January when it's on sale, and then saving it for the next Christmas. Oh my goodness. Okay, and so lots of decorations. Oh. Of course, crochet. If you do crochet, you can make snowflakes. A whole tree of snowflakes is lovely. And you just crochet the snowflake and then you put some kind of starch. Back in the day, we used sugar. Just make a sugar syrup, but probably that would bring the, you know, that probably wouldn't bring the roaches like the flour. So the white flour and the white sugar seems to not attract the bugs. They have a little more sense than the humans, but you might find regular starch or something better in your craft store. Now, similar to that, this is a craft that one of my elementary school teachers made. It might have been Mrs. Siegel, my first grade teacher, who was not a Christian, but rather a Jew. But anyway, I am going to credit her with this lovely craft idea. So take strawberry baskets. You know, when you buy a basket of strawberries in the grocery store, there's this plastic basket. So, and then we took the bottoms and cut them into snowflake shapes, and then we covered them with glitter, and those became Christmas or holiday decorations in that case. So that really did, that was a lot of fun. And similarly, you could make Christmas cards. That's a wonderful thing to do even over the Thanksgiving holiday. Make Christmas cards. So take that shape of the snowflake out of the strawberry carton, or you could cut it out some other way, and then put glue on it and then press it down like a stamper on the front of various cards, and then put the glitter on that. And of course, there are many other ways to make cards. One, of course, is from the Montessori system. Montessori was not in favor of allowing children just to scribble, this kind of whirl that they do, but rather she would take the geometric insets. So for instance, say you have a puzzle and there is a triangle in it. So take the triangle out and take the external part, put that on the paper and have the child trace. So long before they can actually write, they can use a pencil, in this case it would be a colored pencil, and draw next to that edge. So they have a perfect triangle there. And so that's the beginning of a lot of ideas. So take that triangle puzzle and flip it over, and you have two triangles superimposed on one another, and you've got a Star of David. And then, say you want a little more decoration, keep that puzzle stationary and with one hand. With the other hand, draw lines across the shape repeatedly. So whereas your child may not be able to color within the lines, when they have that shape, there is no mistake made, and the coloring doesn't have to be solid, but you know, if you have enough lines across that triangle, then it gives the appearance of being colored. And so you've got a colored triangle or a colored Star of David or any other number of shapes. And so I think this is the best way for a three-year-old, for instance, to make a card. In fact, my daughter made such a card for our pastor, and I was so proud of her when she was three. And so by four, a child may be learning how to color within the lines, and show them the trick that if they outline, so I'm thinking crayons now, if they outline the shape that they want to color in, that outline, that bit of wax, will stop their Crayola so they can color within the lines. So make Christmas cards and greeting cards. That's a wonderful thing to do during the holidays. You can give your baking, you can give your cards, and we want to practice and celebrate giving and charity in our holidays, for just as we believe that God so loved the world, that's us, all humans, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. And so this is what we're celebrating. Be sure you talk about this with your children. Talk about it. Don't just have holidays. Many people talk about how sad the holidays are, and this because we have expectations that we ourselves will get something. And many people do have sad holidays because they don't have a family, and we should be generous with them, generous with inviting them into our circle. But what I'm trying to get to here is, if we see these holidays as celebrations of what God has given us, and our participation in that as worship rather than as getting, then we will be much less upset, disappointed. So don't let your holidays be upsetting, disappointing, and annoying, but full of worship. And let us convey this to our children, that we are worshiping this Christmas, and we are giving. And this is why we celebrate, because we have joy about Christ coming to us. And so we decorate our houses because we are joyful, not because we're keeping up with the Joneses. And we give away our goodies because we want to participate in the life of God, who is giving and loving. And another thing that one might do for Christmas is to participate in some sort of charity. I really appreciate the Samaritan's Purse shoebox ministry. It may be too late to do that, but you could save for next year if you've got a house of any size. You might save, look for the sales that go on over the years, over the year, and purchase a little gift here or a little item there. I remember one year I had lots of Crayolas. I don't remember exactly why I bought a lot of boxes of Crayolas, but I did. And so now I didn't have the wherewithal, the time, the money to make 12 shoeboxes, but I could give those Crayolas to the church group that was making up the boxes. And so a dozen of those boxes could have the addition of a little box of Crayolas. So you might work on that or something different. You might, if you have older children, contact a retirement home, old folks home, and sing for them. I'm sure your church is doing something, so participate in that. It is important. It is important to celebrate, and it is important to celebrate with others, and it is important to explain these things to your children, and wonderful that we can do so together. And we should be very grateful that we can, that we have this heritage in our United States and in so many other countries around the world, where increasingly you can celebrate. And certainly we have something to celebrate because God came to us as a child to show us the way and to open a way for us. And so the final thing that I'm going to suggest that you do with your children is on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, probably Christmas Eve, if your family is like mine, read the story of Jesus being born out of Luke. We always did this. My father sat down and we read the Luke story. And so do this. Try to get the opportunity to do this with your grandchildren so that those words resonate and ring with your grandchildren in a way that they never would otherwise. Even if they hear that story later in life, it's not the same as if they have heard that story all their lives, read by their father, their grandfather, their mother, their grandmother, whoever will take it upon themselves to do it. And so I wish you the merriest of Christmas, the happiest of Thanksgiving, and the most blessed New Year's of all. May this be the year that Jesus shines most brightly in your home. So if you'd like to contact us, we're at www.greatshalom.org, www, great like big, G-R-E-A-T, shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M, shalom meaning total well-being, or you can write me and do get that resource, God's Advice for Dangerous Times, at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. And this is Sharon Sorrells saying God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.